Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie and 51551. Martin, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I really admire your show.
Okay.
But the little query I have was, and I hadn't your number yesterday, I would have phoned you.
Okay.
If I had known it.
Yeah.
It was about that Christian brother that told that girl she was a lesbian.
And
that once that she shared with him that she was a lesbian.
And she was refused.
And she was refused. But the point I want to try and make now, Joe, is, you see, I knew a lot of them. I lived in America. I lived in the next street.
Yeah.
How would that brother feel if that girl, if there was a river alongside of her and she was out and she took her own life? Sure, that's not Christianity.
He told her, I don't have the prayer. Brother Basil, and it was a silent retreat. And Brother Basil isn't here now to defend himself, but people heard him yesterday at great length. But
I wouldn't agree with him at all. I'll tell you, I was brought up a Catholic.
Yeah.
And there was an old friend of mine who went through the last World War. He landed in Normandy. And he said something very important to me that will stay with me till my dying day.
Yeah.
He said, the only reason I'm a Catholic, because my mother and father were Catholics. If my mother and father were Protestants, he said, I'd be a Protestant. If they had no religion, I'd have no religion. Yeah. But what if that's the God, you see, he talks about, that he spoke about yesterday? I want nothing at all to do with it. I'm a lapsed Catholic.
Okay. And Brother Basil gave Diane, as we were calling her, he gave her a prayer saying that because she was a lesbian engaged in a relationship, that she would have to purify herself, and that would include chastity.
I won't use the language I'd like to use, I have too much respect for you. But I'll tell you the truth. I know from personal experience, and with the help of God, I get your email sometime. I know from personal experience. Mm-hmm. They don't throw that way, Louis. That's where they were born. I talked to a few of them yesterday. I know a good few of them.
Yeah.
And I made a few phone calls and I spoke to them. And I asked them, do they want to be lesbians? And they said they didn't choose it.
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, is he contradicting God, so?
And when you say you know from experience, personal experience?
I know from personal experience. Because I had a brother who was a transsexual.
Mm.
And I said out to him after that. We had no talk at all. But what it came down to was, 6 months I made up with him before he died.
Mm. And why did you fall out with him, Martin?
Pardon?
Why did you fall out?
Because when you're in a small rural area, they're all laughing at you and the stigma and the degradation and everything else that follows it.
And did your parents?
It was my own pride that got in the way, and I can see that today.
Hmm. And did your parents know their son was transsexual?
No, Peyton, he never came out while my parents were alive. He had too much respect for him. And so after they passed away, he came out.
Was it respect or fear, Martin?
It wasn't fear, it was respect for him.
Okay. And how
he couldn't put on through it.
Okay. And how did you find out?
He told me himself, and he said it could have cost us our friendship. He was out as a transvestite first, and he became a transsexual after.
Hmm.
And I kind of said out to him, but I'll tell you the truth, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The day he was buried, there was all the hypocrisy and the shame. You should have seen. I was at home one night and the phone calls that were coming in, what they were going to do to him, what they weren't going to do to him, because unreal, got sick.
And was this, when did these phone calls come?
They came and...
Was this after he died? Or?
No, it was before he died, when he was coming out. They came to, I suppose, to be 2008.
And what age was he then, Martin?
He was about 46.
And a transsexual is a person who emotionally and psychologically feels that they belong to the opposite sex.
And there was some of the people, he was a caretaker, I don't know if he or she calls him, he anyway. was a caretaker in the school, and they were going to withdraw their children from it.
Why? You know? Why? Because of the way...
they were afraid he'd rape them, so he wouldn't knock the fly.
And what? Yeah. But how did they know he started dressing as a woman, did he?
Because he used to go in as a woman.
Yeah.
He used to go in as a woman.
And
he used to go in as a woman.
Did that school know him as a man, if you follow me, Martin?
Oh, they did, but the most of them got on with him, but there's a difference in the some of them.
And did he...
If you look up the archives, there was some woman done it. There was a girl there. You'll find all the whole after out about it, for he spoke on it. She was the first transsexual in Ireland.
That was Lydia Foy, who did incredible work.
She's
a dentist, yeah.
She this girl was from Kildare or somewhere.
That's right, that's Lydia. Lydia, if my memory serves me correctly.
He was in that program.
Okay.
And you'll get the whole after the index. You know, for he gave a good
And
good
how did you make up with him, Martin?
I made up with him, and I said, God, I said, look, I was afraid what the people would think of me.
But who initiated the reconciliation?
Myself.
And what, you rang him or you wrote to him?
No, I didn't. We were staying in the same house, but we weren't talking. So I said to him after, I said, look, I'm sorry for the way I put the two, and he died in my arms.
He died in your arms?
Yeah.
So before, obviously, when you did you know he was unwell when you reconciled?
Before it, I reconciled with him in January, and he didn't die until the 17th of May, 2001.
Okay.
So January 2001, I reconciled with him.
So that was four or five months. And when you reconciled, what can you remember? If you can, I know it's very difficult. Can you remember the formula of words you use? What did you say to him?
I said, look, I'm sorry, I should have accepted you the way you were.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I put you through, I wasn't looking to bother you. You know, and the sad thing about it was, he was looking after an invalid brother I had.
Yeah. Your brother as well.
My other brother, he's inside in the home now.
Yeah. And what did your brother say when you said, I'm sorry?
He said, forgive me for you didn't understand.
Say again, Martin?
He said, I forgive you for you didn't understand.
Okay.
And I said, how did you become it? I was born that way, John. He said, I never choose it.
Yeah.
And that's what put me thinking yesterday, you see. And that's what drove me crazy yesterday when I heard about this Christian brother killing this gay lady. And you can pass it on for her that she's not alone. She didn't choose to be that way.
Yeah,
no one chose to be that way. They're born that way, and I mean to say, he's contradictory to the will of God, if that's the case it is.
And we're all born the way we're born.
Yeah, we're born the way we're born. You know, you're a very understanding man. I never miss your show.
You're very kind, Martin. You're a kind man, don't
you know, no, I have the happiness of God, but like, when I went out to San Francisco, I went out to a very good close friend of mine out there, I went out to her funeral. I won't go breaking in an amenity over
no,
the air.
No, don't.
But I went to her funeral, and there were three lesbian girls I knew very well. They were very close to your friends of mine.
Yeah.
And when I went back in 1992, and I went looking for them, and the three of them were dead. They were after jumping over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh.
And that's what put me really thinking yesterday. You know, that if that girl went into a river or something, I mean, you'd want to be very careful with wolves, because wolves can kill.
And Diane explained yesterday that, and she alluded to what you've picked up there, Martin, correctly. She made the point to Brother Basil that the words he used and handing her this prayer about impurity and saying to her now that she had knowledge that being in a gay relationship was against the, it was a sin, basically, she would have to act on it. She said, I am further along the road than most people, than others who are coming out. So I'm in a position where I wouldn't harm myself. But she said other people might, who might be only coming out, so
but,
to speak.
But you see, Joe, it's okay to say that, like, but as time goes on, the head is a funny thing. It could take over and the head completely, and she could take the hell with all out of it.
Yeah.
I needn't, she mightn't feel like it at least. Listen, you could give her my number if she ever wanted
to. Yeah,
of
course.
And, you know, you have my number there now, and you can give it to her, because I'll be able to talk a lot more, because I have more understanding today than I ever had before of it.
And Martin, what age was your brother when he died? Or did you call him your brother?
46. I called him my brother all the time up until the very end.
Oh, okay. And did
and I used to be like a rose and fight over it.
What do you mean? He said to... Why?
Yeah, I know. He'd get angry. He wanted to be called Noreen, and no, he wouldn't call him that at all.
He wanted to be called Noreen?
No.
Did he... And stop me. He was only 47. Incredibly
47,
young.
47, 47, 48.
So he would have been... He would have been of an age where he could have had an operation.
He could have, and sure, there was an Englishman came over to me after, and he told me, and what's her name, that other girl, they came down to his grave the day after he was buried, Alicia. Yeah. And this man that came, this other sexual that came down, said he had paid for the operation for him if he had known it. Yeah. But he was so proud, he wouldn't ask for it.
And do you know if your brother, sorry, if Noreen ever... tried to have the operation through the HSE or whatever.
He was trying to do it through the HSE, but they turned him down. They said he hadn't a life-threatening illness.
He hadn't a life-threatening illness.
I read this for you now, but I don't want to be causing trouble because that's the last thing I need in a week. I'll read this out.
Read it, but don't read out any names, sure you won't.
I won't read any names. Dear blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, where do I know? Shall I see where I can know? I refer to your recent application under the assistance towards the cost of medical treatment outside the state scheme. Oh. As you are aware from the application form, the scheme is governed by strict criteria that are laid down by both EU regulations and destinations and also Department of Health regulations. On the advice of the Southern Health Board medical advisors, your application has not been approved on the grounds that there is no urgent medical necessity for the treatment. What I'd like to know is why did he die? If there was no urgent.
Yeah.
He died of cancer, maybe it was a different thing altogether, I don't know.
And what date is on that letter?
That was in, I'll tell you what date was on that letter now, sir. I'll get that to you
now. Take your time.
The 3rd of March, 1999.
And when did Noreen die?
She died on the 17th of May, 2001.
Oh, that was shortly afterwards.
She died in the 2009, she died in the arms. Because fairly rough going, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, I know, I can hear that.
You know, it was fairly rough going because there's a lot more I'll get onto some other day because I have a lot more to say about the place in Dartmoor, what was done to the kids and all that.
Yeah. What's on the headstone?
I had no headstone up for him because I hadn't even the price of it. I was embezzled out of a lot of money too.
Say again, Martin? Sorry.
I said I was embezzled out of a lot of money too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, but look, money, we want to tip over the ground.
Okay, we won't. Now, someone fiddled you out with money. But Martin.
Yes, sure.
If you could afford a headstone.
Yes.
What name would you put on it, do you think? I don't want to...
I'd put down the name she has. Look, I'll phone your girl... other lady now again, and I'll get her to get your email address and I'll write it out to you.
Okay, you're very good, Mark.
You know, I'll write it out to you.
And as you say, you were upset what you heard yesterday. I don't want you to be upset because
I was very upset. I was very annoyed, to be quite honest, because I have two very good friends, lesbians. And honest to God couldn't put two finer human beings on the earth.
Absolutely.
You know, God couldn't put two phones in, and honest to God, I was biased against him. I was that way, and honest to God, I was biased against the brother. But I'm not proud of it. I'll be quite honest with you.
But you're very...
I beg your pardon?
You're very accepting now.
Well, I had an acceptance, but I'll tell you, like, if I emailed you, okay, I can give you my own whole life story.
Okay, you want to do that? Okay.
You can have the whole life because I wouldn't like to give you
okay, and I won't go any further with you, Martin. But I really appreciate your
listen,
your
George Duffy. Thank you very much, okay, and keep up the good work. And
well,
God bless you.
Well, it's only through you I can this program can keep up the
thank
good work.
You,
people
and
like you, Martin.
God bless you.
God bless you, Martin O'Connor.
God bless you, my friend. Take care.